You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Austin Christian Fellowships around the city. You guys good? How you doing? You glad to be in church? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I had the pleasure. Well, let me do this first. If you need a Bible, why don't you raise your hand? We got Bible. We got volunteer teams coming down with Bibles in their hands. If you're new to ACF, we'd love to give you one. You can keep it for the service. You can keep it for the rest of your life. Either one. Feel free to take one of our respective communities. I want to say a shout out to my friends out at ACF Hutto that are currently part of ACF Round Rock. I had the pleasure of meeting with some of those leaders last Sunday evening with Jake and his leadership team at the Hutto YMCA. And you guys have it going on. We had a blast. And you're off to such a great start. They're planning, they're praying April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. It's also Easter is our launch date in Hutto because we're going to play a big old joke on the devil in Hutto, Texas. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. I hope, anyway, shout out to you guys in Hutto. It was great to be with you. I hope you guys be praying for them and maybe be praying about all of our communities. Hear this. Some of you, they just have extra spare time and are really bored with what you're doing in church right now, which could be some of you, are going to feel led to go serve in Hutto, even though you don't live out there. Maybe for the first 6 months or a year to kind of help them get going. And I'll be saying more about this in January when we talk about our vision. But when they turn the corner in January and look toward April 1st, it is all hands on deck. And I'm just going to see if some of you guys here at Four Points or other communities might pray about, I'll go out to Hutto for 6 months or a year and be one of those people they can count on for load in, load out, for camp fund, for whatever. Because when you're starting a church, you're a week away from extinction every week. And it just matters. Anyway, I'll say more about that in the coming months. Hutto, great to be with you. Okay, you got your Bibles? Yes, you do. Find John chapter 6. And I want to pray. Let me set this up first. Pray in a minute here. Give you a bit of context. I think it's really interesting that three times a year, culture calls a timeout or slows down to give a nod to what Christians are thinking, believing, and doing every day. And by that I mean once a year, culture slows down to have this holiday we call Christmas that we know is where we celebrate the birth of Christ, and many in culture still recognize it as the birth of Christ. It's also become other things to culture. But it's interesting to me because Christians live with a celebration of the birth of Christ every day. We would have nothing to breathe and think about if Christ hadn't come. It's interesting to me that once a year, culture slows down to acknowledge the purported resurrection of Jesus at Easter. We do that every day as Christ followers. We acknowledge every single day the resurrection of Jesus. And I think it's really interesting that this time of year, culture slows down to go, you know what, we need to be grateful. Although I don't really know in culture, I don't mean this to be sarcastic or snarky at all. I don't know to whom we're giving thanks this Thanksgiving. But there is the pause. I know there historically the story behind this. There is the pause this time of year to give thanks, which is something Christ followers do every single day, or are supposed to, should do every single day. So it's intriguing to me that we still have enough Christian rootage in this country that, and around the world as well, that December 25th and whenever the Easter comes in the springtime, this year April 1st, and on Thanksgiving, there is a need to tune into things bigger. Now, what culture, I'm going to pray, I hadn't forgotten. This is all setting the scene. What culture stops at level one, we in Christ following go much, much further because we've been discipled and taught to do so. I would not expect a typical person who doesn't know Christ to do the level of response we're going to do at Christmas, because we don't just celebrate the birth of Christ, we think about living incarnationally. See, Christians recognize that Jesus came, we also recognize that Jesus came in us. and he's incarnate in me. And so I live as if Christ, the Son of the Promised One, lives incarnationally through me. God lives through me. Christians go much, much further than what culture would think about. The same is true with Easter. We go well beyond thinking about this is just the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We think about the resurrection power of Jesus that lives in us, that's made us alive. He was risen from the dead. He's the first raised from the dead. We're behind him, raised from the dead, and we live with the resurrection power of Jesus in us. That's something we've been discipled into believing and knowing. It's a whole different way of living when you understand the resurrection power. And I think perhaps the most radical of twists on what culture slows down to do is this thing we've done this weekend called Thanksgiving. Where culture, I think appropriately, pauses to say thank you to a husband or wife or to a great school teacher or to American heroes, veterans who are back, people who are serving us currently, to people who have influence in our life, to whatever, and in many cases to God. Thank you for the things you've done. It's looking back and saying, I need to acknowledge that. That's level one of Thanksgiving. Gratitude in Christianity doesn't just include the things that God has done. It includes the things God has not done yet. It includes not just the stuff that I'm happy about. It includes not necessarily thanking God for the difficulty, but thanking God in the difficulty. And you've done that, you just move way beyond where culture goes. But the biggest difference for us in gratitude is thanking God for things he has not done at all yet. It's the faith piece. It's, Lord, I'm praying for this thing. I thank you that you're going to do this. And because of your word, because of what you put in my heart and faith, I'm looking ahead. I'm paying it forward to thank you. Folks, that's radical. And it is that type of gratitude I want to talk to you about right now. It's just transformational. So having said that, let me pray with you and we'll jump in. Every Sunday is Palm Sunday at Austin Christian Fellowship. If you want to turn your palms over, I just feel led to ask you during this prayer. I think some of you, by the time I'm done in a few minutes, are going to need to have some Thanksgiving time. So why don't you start with your palms up if you want to, and let's just begin here. God, in Jesus' name, all communities, palms up. In Jesus' name, may you light up your word right now. And anoint me and clear my mind and help us to get a clearer sense of the power of this gratitude. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin in verse 11 of John chapter 6. I also think it's interesting that this time of year, which is really difficult for a lot of folks, my sister lost her husband a year ago. My dad died a year ago this time. You guys know there's a lot of elderly folks who kind of make it. They kind of hold on to the holidays. Funeral directors will tell you they're busier this time of year than the rest of the year combined. So for many of us, it's a blessed season. It's also a bittersweet season. It's, if you're grieving a loss, that first holiday, that first birthday, that first anniversary, that first Thanksgiving can be tough. Isn't it curious? And so the holiday season can be tough. Isn't it curious in the Christian standpoint from our holiday season that Thanksgiving kicks off the holidays for us? Because we're going to get through these difficult days by giving thanks. You see that? It's fascinating. Okay. I'm looking out at this community of people and looking at these cameras, knowing who's out in some of our other communities and the stories you have. The stories you have this year and what some of you have been through and are going through now, and you're heroic in your walks. Maybe the two most important words for you right now are thank you, as you just get perspective on what God is doing. Okay. Did I mention John 6? I did, right? Okay. Just making sure. So this is the passage where Jesus feeds the multitude. It's John's one accounting of this. All the other synoptics, the other gospels, the three synoptics give us two accounts of different feedings. John gives us one account of one feeding, and it's just an amazing story, the way they all tell it. John's perspective, probably being the last one written, gives us a little bit of a different take than the three guys, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, his predecessors, did. They had the need, they've been teaching, Jesus has been teaching, they've been out for many days now, the crowd is hungry, the disciples say, send them away. He says, we don't do that, you're going to feed them. Tell them to sit down, we're going to feed them. What do you have in your hand? Well, we got a couple loaves of bread and some fish. Jesus said, that's plenty, had them sit down. Verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. You can do the math. To a crowd of 5,000 men, added to that women and children, so it's a bunch of folks. I think there is such amazing theology and power and application for my life right now and for yours of that moment when nothing had happened yet. That's not true. Because what had happened is they had seed provision. They didn't have full provision. They had seed provision. What is seed? S-E-E-D. What is seed provision? Seed provision is when you have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and you need to feed about 12,000 people. It's a start. And you know it's from God. Or Peter had roughed up a kid and taken his lunch, one of the two. Could be God did it. Could be Peter stole it. But either way, they had seed provision. And that's all they had. But for that, Jesus was grateful. Now, there's something really transformational, guys, in that. Because what I might have done, had I been there, I would have looked at the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and been like the rest of the disciples and gone, well, that's real helpful. And focused on what God had not done and what God had not given rather than what God had given. God gave 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to get started. Now, that's not enough, but we're not passing it out yet. But many times we respond to the gap, not the provision up to the gap. And so we're like, well, God, why haven't you given me all this yet? And so we kind of turn our theology into the cup is half empty, not half full, beating our chest, banging on the doors of heaven, saying, God, you haven't done anything yet. Well, he said, well, no, I gave you 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, thank me for that and watch me work. So instead of complaining about what you think I've limited to, I'm waiting for a little bit of acknowledgement here in faith, and then I'll open the windows of heaven for you. So it's really strategic to me that Jesus, with those 5 loaves of bread, says, okay, I can work with this. I can work with this. And the scripture says he gave thanks. And then he began to distribute. And, you know, however this works in the kingdom, it was post-gratitude comes the miraculous provision. Let me say that again. After the thanksgiving came the provision. Not before. That's really important that you guys get that. That we all get that. Sometimes the rhema, the word, the manna from heaven doesn't come until you thank God for it in advance. It's an act of faith. So you know what happens. Jesus, I just want to read the text again to make sure I don't leave anything out of this. When he had given thanks, the heavens opened and the distribution began and the multiplication began and it kept going and it kept going. And you know how this turns out in the end. They have more than when they started. They have more left over than when they started, significantly more. Everybody ate. Everybody was satisfied. They had 12 basketfuls left over. And it all started when Christ said, I want to thank you, God, for what you've given me here. Now, Jesus is doing this as a human. Remember, he's checked all his divine insight and power at the door to become human for 33 years. He's got two checking accounts from which to write checks. He closed the divine checking account for 33 years and just wrote checks as a human. He showed us what human beings were meant to be. So when he fed the 5,000 and he was able to thank God in faith, he was doing that as a fully submitted human, not as a guy with supernatural knowledge because he was God's son. He checked that and he was showing us what humans were meant to be and do. So he led with thank you. He led with thank you. Now, the piece I want to show you is a few verses later. Verse 22. John 6, verse 22. This is the next day, and the crowd sees Jesus go up on the mountain. And they see the disciples get in a boat and go across the sea, and they begin to make their way around the sea. And during the night, Jesus decides to meet his disciples, and so he walks on the water, you know that story, meets up with his disciples, and then they're at the shore. The crowd who's been following all this the next day, they never see Jesus come over. They get there the next day, and Jesus is there, and they go, how'd you get here? We missed that. Something happened. How'd you get here? Verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place. Listen, this is a side commentary from John. It's not his main point, but he does this little sidebar thing that just has killed me this Thanksgiving season. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. And then he goes on and talks about, how'd you get here? But I love that John is writing this maybe as much as 60 years after it happened. We don't know exactly when John wrote. We know when John wrote Revelation for sure. It's about 60 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. John is probably before that, but we don't know how much. So 5 decades, 50 years, maybe 5 decades after this happened. John's an eyewitness to it. In his thinking back on what happened that day and the feeding of the multitude, he thinks back to, oh, that was the place. They came to that spot of land where Jesus fed the multitude right after he'd given thanks. He calls the place where the Lord gave thanks. That's how significant that act was to him. He didn't call it the place where the Lord fed the multitude. He says it was the place where God gave thanks. And it's the first time in John he uses the word Lord. It's like that place changed for me. That place will never be the same because that's the place where I began to see who Jesus was when he looked at the heavens and without any reference to a crowd of a bunch of people and just a handful of provision, he said, thank you. And then he fed them. And it marked John forever. And to the rest of the disciples, guys, that place was forever known as the place where the Lord gave thanks. And that just stuns me. Because it was that thank you that released the miracle they desperately needed. Now, that's where I want to get real relevant with you right now. As you sit here this Thanksgiving weekend in your respective community, what are you waiting for God to do? What are you praying for God to do? What are you wrestling with God about? What is that hope, that dream, that belief that through what you may feel like a lot of unanswered prayer, and I want to tell you there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Well, it's a whole other sermon for another time, but God doesn't not answer prayers. He answers prayers. Sometimes he says, not yet. Sometimes he says, I can do better. Which is translated no, but it's because I can do better. But it's impossible for you to pray and have God not do something. Can I say that again? It is impossible for you to pray and have God not respond. So if you're praying, God's responding. And somebody in some community somewhere, please say amen. That's really, really good. Okay, fine. I heard you out in Round Rock. Hell, amen. There was something about that release of faith that changed the day for Jesus and his disciples. He modeled for them, this is what I need you to do. See, we sit around the table when the table is set and hold hands as we should and say, Lord, thank you for this food. He did it before the table was set. He did it before the provision had come. And when you learn to do that, when you learn to be thankful to a God who is good before you know the outcome, before you've seen the provision, folks, that is the game changer that Christ is looking for. That is what puts you on a whole different level of walk in faith. That is what he uses to take you to higher levels of maturity. That is what he uses to instill joy in you. That is what he uses to help you live above your circumstances. And that is what he uses to transform people around you, because when they see your thankfulness in a situation when you don't know all the answers, or in a situation where they'd be griping at God for having not come through, and you're blessing the Lord saying, I can't believe you've come through like this. You're so good. And you don't have all the answers in a row. Folks, that's where God lands. And so what I think some of us need to do this Thanksgiving weekend is up our gratitude a little bit, even though we don't have some of the answers. Walking into what you know is going to be a season of difficulty, and some of you are starting to walk right now. Put your feet down and say, Lord, thank you for this seed provision. It's not all I need, but it's a start. I've got more than I had an hour ago. Thank you. One of the things I love about teaching the way I'm teaching right now is I don't plan a lot of illustrations, and they just pop into my mind. This one has popped into my mind, and I love it. E.M. Bounds, not E.M. Bounds, George Mueller. The problem is I get the names wrong, so there you go. Some guy somewhere at some point in history, George Mueller, ran an orphanage in Bristol, England for 40 years. And he did it by faith. He wasn't even that passionate about orphans. He loved orphans, but his whole thing was, I want to show that you can care for thousands of orphans by not telling anybody about your needs but God. And so he would pray for food, and food would come in. He was a pastor of a church, and he wouldn't take a salary. I'm not suggesting that, by the way, okay? He was a pastor of a church, wouldn't draw, said they had a box out. If you wanted to pay the pastor, he put whatever he lived on, whatever was in the box. He didn't tell anybody he was going to start an orphanage. And he'd get a letter from somebody saying, if you ever consider starting an orphanage, can I come work for you? God told me to write you and give you this $10 to help you start this orphanage. And he had never told anybody he was starting an orphanage. He did that for 40 years. 40 years. When he was done, he had 2,000 orphans that he was caring for by faith. He believed he was supposed to build a building. But if he's going to do it by faith, he's not going to tell anybody. So he's got to get the yes from God on building the building, number one, to put the more orphans in. And number two, he's got to get the provision from God, and he can't tell anybody about it. And that's just not a good business plan. That does not work in a business plan. Lord, he would journal. I need to know if you want me to build this building. I think he prayed for a matter of time. I'm going to get wrong if it was 2 weeks or 2 months. It was some short period of time about prayer, and a little 9-year-old walked to him one day and handed him a shilling and said, this is for your building. And you know what he said? Thank you, God. That's all I needed. Seed provision. He didn't have the whole thing he needed. Guess what? They built the building. Got goosebumps. They built that building. Seed. He said, thank you, God. I don't need the whole thing. I got a shilling. That's your yes from a 9-year-old. Thank you, God. Here we go. Folks, that thank you releases something into your world that is transformational. Let me give you some specifics about this, and we're going to move on. Why give thanks in advance? Okay? It's not irresponsible. It's not cocky. It's not snarky. Well, thank you. I mean, it's not that. It's that genuine, in before this provision, I want you to know I trust you to the point I'm telling you thank you for the provision. Before I know the results of this test or how this is going to come out, thank you because you are good, and you're going to be good on either side of this thing. If this thing lands in a way I don't expect or like, you're still going to be good, so thank you. See, your goodness isn't based on how this turns out. Sometimes we'll get great news and we'll say, well, God's so good. God's good when the news is bad. He's still good. So I'm going to say thank you before the event, before I know the test results, before I know how this is going to end out, before I know how Baylor's going to do in their next football game next year. Sorry, was that out loud? That was out loud, wasn't it? That came out. Okay. You're good. You're good. They stink. You're good. You're still good. So thank you. When you do that, number one, it demonstrates faith. And what does God love? I'm sorry. What does God require of us? Faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. If you're going to walk by faith, you need to do a lot of saying thank you in advance. If you're going to be a tither, if you're going to give 10% or more, which we ask at ACF for all ACFers to do because it's biblical and it's minimal, but it's biblical and it's right and it's how we fund the work we do, not just here in Austin, but mostly you see around the world, around the city. If you're going to be a tither, you're going to have to say thank you a lot because when you write that tithe check, you may not always have what you need to do the whole next year month. God didn't promise that. He just promises today. So when I write those gift checks to God and to other places that Susan and I support, Lord, thank you that you honor giving. Thank you that you're going to honor this gift. And he has in my life now for how many decades I've been a giver. If you're going to be walking by faith, if you're going to walk into a conversation with somebody that you know could go a lot of directions, Lord, I thank you that you're going ahead of me in this conversation. You told Joshua, every place on which the sole of your feet tread, I will give you that place. So go now in faith, Joshua, and take this land. So God, as I walk in this meeting with somebody, by going to this counseling session, as I go across the street to talk to my neighbor about you, as we host our first small group meeting in our home, we have a Bible study, or we do an outreach, Lord, thank you for going in front of me. I trust you that you've got this. That's faith. He loves faith. He rewards faith. See, remember, culture is really good at acknowledging once a year, we got to say thank you for what you have done in the past. Christians go way beyond that. We say thank you for what you're going to do in the future. That's faith. It demonstrates faith. Number two, it honors God. It acknowledges who he is. It acknowledges he is not out of control. It acknowledges he has never said, wow, I did not see that coming. It acknowledges that he's holy. It acknowledges that he's omniscient. He knows everything. It acknowledges that he's good. So with the seed provision, Lord, I can see Jesus holding those loaves of bread up and disciples going, what is he doing? Thank you. I believe it's in John 11 when he raises Lazarus from the dead. He prays before he calls Lazarus out. And he says, Lord, I thank you that you've heard me. In advance, now release your power. It honors God. Third thing it does, this is huge, and this is the one some of you need most this weekend. It absolutely changes your perspective. The spoken thank you out of your mouth is that which will be the game changer from being pouty and discouraged and even depressed and frustrated and afraid to encouraged and confident and bold, because it is the thank you that puts momentum to what you're doing. It is the thank you that brought the power to the distribution of those fish and loaves, and here came the miracle. And it is the thank you in advance that will take your eyes off of what you don't have and raise your eyes to looking for what God is going to do. Back in the days, we started thanking God for filling Lake Travis when it was still at 625. I spent a lot of time looking at the clouds and at weather reports and radar looking for the rain to come. It just raises, you know what thankfulness does in advance? It raises your expectations. It raises your expectations. And again, You build your theology on what God is doing and is going to do, and not on what God hasn't done for you, what he hasn't given you. Eve fell in the garden because Satan had her looking at what God had not given her. Why'd he keep this tree from you? Not what he had given her, which is a whole garden. One more thing. Being thankful in advance inspires others. I think when Jesus took those loaves and fish and looked at the heavens and said, God, I thank you. Thank you. Bless this bread. Bless these fish. Thank you for what you're about to do. I think it sent a light of electricity into his skeptical disciples going, this is going to be interesting. It caused them, when someone says thank you in advance, it causes you to get a little curious on what's going to happen next. It's Elijah pouring water on wood before he calls down fire from heaven. This is going to be interesting. What's going to happen now? Thankfulness elicits that. What's going to happen now? Because they've just gone out there in faith by saying thank you. It is the demonstration that you trust God, ready, no matter what. Thankfulness says, God, I trust you, no matter what. And folks, that's inspiring. That's what gets other people's attention. See how powerful this stuff is? And it's so... I want to say it's so basic, but it's not, because we've been duped into thinking God is the God who withholds, and so we don't thank him. We've been duped into believing that God is a God, we must think of him as what he's not done, what he's done. And so we don't say thank you much in our life. And when we start shifting that, by the way, Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? If God gave you Jesus, he's going to give you everything else you need. So say thank you. Okay. So let's put a bow on this. Thanksgiving weekend, 2017. For what do you need to be thankful right now? That you have not yet said to the Lord, you know, I thank you for this. I thank you in this. For what are you waiting that God has not given that you need to thank him for? What new circumstances have popped up that look terrifying perhaps on the outside that you need to thank him for and go, I know you're good, and you're going to be good. You're good today. You were good before this came up. You're going to be good tomorrow. So I was thinking about some of you guys. For that couple awaiting news on that adoption, you need to say thank you. Those parents waiting for that prodigal to come home, you need to say thank you. For that single adult who is really sick and tired of being single, you need to say thank you for that spouse. For that man or woman who's wrestling with God on a serious decision, and they feel like the heavens currently are silent. They're just getting crickets back. You need to thank God for his answer and for his direction. For that individual, couple, whoever, business owner, going into a battle, going into a difficult custody hearing, going into a lawsuit that has been brought against you in your world very fraudulently, and there's no case, but they're being sued for something. and you're outgunned and outnumbered and they got more resources than you do, you need to thank God for fighting your battles, for being your defender. For that Christian student who's in a university setting or a high school setting and a teacher or two has a pretty clear anti-God sentiment that you feel when you engage, you need to thank God for giving you favor in that class and the chance to be light in darkness. For that member of a family who's had conflict in family for a year or 10 years or longer, and you wonder if you're ever going to have a normal family. By the way, normal is a cycle on a washing machine. No one has a normal family. Remember that? Normal is a cycle and nothing else. If you wonder if you're ever going to have a normal family, you need to thank God for his healing. For the guy or gal who just got the test results back, and they are not what you wanted or expected. In fact, they're scary. You need to thank God for his healing, for his provision, for his power. For the person who's praying and praying and praying and praying and there's no movement yet, you need to thank God for that word yet. Because he is the God who always answers prayer. Folks, there's a point where you'll move in your prayers. You'll always ask. You need to, because the scriptures teach us to ask, to stay after him. The scriptures encourage us to do that because it builds our faith. But you'll learn, you'll just get to where with the ask, you'll just say, Lord, I thank you for doing it. I thank you that you're going to do this. Because that's who you are. And I've got it in your word. I've got it written across my heart. Lord, I thank you for doing this. It will release something into your world that is transformational. And God will take that seed provision and turn it into over-provision, which is what he does.